Developing news as we come on the air tonight. Breaking news out of North Korea. Why they're suddenly threatening to cancel that high-stakes summit with President Trump. Violent storms and major threats of tornadoes. 45 million people in the path. A travel nightmare in major cities from Baltimore to Boston. New questions in what police call one of the worst cases of child abuse they've ever seen. 10 children rescued from their home. Tonight, their father is fighting back.
I'm not an animal. I'm not a torturer. And I'm not a monster.
His new interview from behind bars. Chaos in the cockpit. The co-pilot nearly sucked out of the shattered windshield. Late word from London after twists and turns all day. The father of the American Princess Bride now says he's having heart surgery and won't attend the royal wedding. And remembering the great Tom Wolfe, those famous white suits, the right stuff, the bonfires of the vanities, a literary legend is gone.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. We begin with the news out of North Korea, which may have thrown an unexpected wrench into those plans for that summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un, scheduled for June 12th in Singapore. The Trump administration apparently caught off guard today by a North Korean threat to nix what would be historic talks. NBC's Peter Alexander starts us off now with the latest.
Tonight, a momentary summit setback or more. North Korean state media reporting the North is threatening to back out of Kim Jong-un's historic face-to-face with President Trump next month, blaming joint U.S.-South Korea air combat drills currently underway, blasting it as a provocative military ruckus. The North also indefinitely canceling high-level talks with South Korea, notifying them by fax just hours before a scheduled meeting at the Peace House along the DMZ, where Kim Jong-un and South Korea's president met last month. The announcement catching the White House off guard. The Pentagon confirming the long-planned annual exercises are routine. The State Department insisting North Korea hasn't notified the U.S. of any change.
We will continue to go ahead and plan the meeting between President Trump and Kim Jong-un.
The North's dramatic shift in tone coming just days after it released three American detainees and began dismantling a nuclear test site. The path forward certain to be the primary topic discussed when President Trump hosts his South Korean counterpart 1 week from today.
I can see this being part and parcel of North Korea's cycle of doing this type of negotiation where they try to build up leverage by both engaging their opponents but also making their opponents guess about what their next move will be.
And late tonight, the president made another trip to Walter Reed Medical Center to check on the First Lady, who, as you'll remember, had a kidney procedure Monday. The president saying Mrs. Trump will be leaving the hospital in 2 or 3 days. Her office says that she remains in good spirits. Lester.
Peter Alexander at the White House. Thank you. An explosion at a medical facility south of Los Angeles has left at least one person dead and multiple others injured. The blast also forcing children to evacuate from a nearby daycare. Tonight, investigators are on the scene trying to determine the cause. NBC's Jolene Kent now with the latest.
A major explosion rocking this medical office building in Orange County today.
I have severe damage to the building.
One person inside killed, according to police. Three more transported to nearby hospitals with injuries. NBC News law enforcement sources say the blast was intentional.
We're still trying to figure out exactly what happened.
These two women came walking out of it, and they were dripping blood and full hair, face full of ash, hair completely singed.
Directly across the street, firefighters evacuating small children from a Montessori daycare.
I heard the big crash. I thought it was a garbage truck.
Police say no children were injured as they were reunited with terrified parents.
I just started crying. I was just so happy that they're safe. All the kids are safe.
Law enforcement, along with the FBI and ATF, all on scene investigating. As parents clutch their children tonight, relieved and holding tight. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Now to the severe weather warnings and watches, including tornado and flash flood threats in the densely packed Northeast tonight. A line of powerful storms has already knocked out power for thousands and has brought air travel to a crawl across the region. Here's NBC's Kristen Dahlgren.
Tonight, storms slamming the mid-Atlantic to New England, bringing chaos to New York's Grand Central with thousands stranded as commuter trains are suspended. The East Coast seeing sheets of rain, vicious winds, and lightning. with dangerous hail hitting Connecticut.
We have a tornado warning.
And parts of New York and Pennsylvania under tornado warnings.
I'm Jacob Soboroff in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where moments ago residents here received a tornado warning and instructions to take cover. The rain and wind are intensifying. We're seeing lightning. People are still out on the streets.
Across the country, thousands of flights canceled or delayed.
We planned on one day, so we don't have anything with us.
Bradley International Airport near Hartford evacuating its air traffic control tower. Hundreds of thousands of people in the east left without power.
It's really like somebody flipped a switch. It went from a beautiful sunny day to this here along the Hudson River. A lot of people surprised by how quickly this is moving through.
Storms have made a mess of much of the country over the past 24 hours. The nation's capital still cleaning up from the powerful storm that sparked this house fire in Maryland and left more than 1,000 in the dark. Passengers at Dulles Airport rushed into a tunnel for safety Monday evening as the storm passed.
And we are tracking a tornado warning in effect for northern Hartford County.
Millions still bracing tonight as the storm now moves east. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, Hastings-on-Hudson, New York.
There is new fallout this evening from those deadly clashes between Israeli forces and Palestinians protesting the opening of the new U.S. embassy in Jerusalem. The region already on edge with new violence erupting today. NBC Chief Foreign Correspondent Richard Engel has more now from Gaza.
In Gaza, angry funerals today after health officials say Israeli troops shot dead more than 60 Palestinian protesters, including six children Monday when they tried to rush the Israeli border. Cameras catching them fall after being hit. And today in Gaza, Israel seemed determined not to repeat the bloodshed, using an air campaign to keep protesters from ever reaching the border fence. Drones hovered above the protesters, dropping small tear gas bombs. Two loads per drone, flying nonstop. You never knew when or where they'd drop.
Turn around. These protests are not letting up. Among Palestinians, there is now no conviction that President Trump is an arbiter for the peace process. As far as they're concerned, the peace process is over.
And without hope for a negotiated peace, extremists have a free hand to fuel Palestinian anger. The leader of Hamas, which runs the Gaza Strip, arrived unannounced at a main demonstration. His militant supporters calling for rockets to fly toward Israel. And while UN human rights officials are criticizing Israel for using lethal force against protesters, Israel and the Trump administration are blaming Hamas for sparking the latest round of violence.
No country in this chamber would act with more restraint than Israel has.
That's not the feeling here in Gaza now. They feel hopeless and ignored. There's no talk of a peace process now. Not even talk of peace. Lester?
All right, Richard Engel in Gaza, thank you. Now to that alleged house of horrors in Northern California. Tonight, the father of 10 children removed from that home is speaking out from behind bars. Both he and his wife are facing several charges, including felony child abuse. NBC's Gadi Schwartz has the latest, and we want to warn you, some of the images are disturbing.
Tonight, a man accused of torturing his children is defending himself from jail. Jonathan Allen and his wife Ina Rogers accused of abusing and neglecting their 10 children.
I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. But I am not an animal. I'm not a torturer. And I'm not a monster.
But police say they found squalor inside the home, and the grandmother says the kids told her they were tortured every day.
He would put duct tape on our eyes, lay us on the floor, tell us we couldn't move, and if we did, he would just pounce us and beat us all in the stomach. He said the demons were making him do it.
Wanda Rogers did not want to speak on camera.
A black cloak is in the closet.
But shared video from inside the home where she claims she found a satanic book and a knife. She says these disturbing photos show injuries on the children, including a 1.5-year-old girl burned by scalding water.
Daddy really burned her. He kept burning her and burning her and burning her. She screamed so loud, Grandma, she lost her voice.
A very different picture portrayed on a YouTube page called Cute Rascals Go Wild, where the kids are coached through games, laughing, and asking people to subscribe. Ellen says the allegations are false and he does not worship the devil, but does offer what he calls magical services. He and his wife say his mother-in-law has brainwashed the children in a ploy for custody. But police aren't buying it. They call it one of the worst cases of child abuse they've ever seen. Gotti Schwartz, NBC News.
A troubling story out of Northern California. Now to Hawaii, and yet another massive fissure that opened in the earth today, spewing lava and life-threatening toxic gases. It's just the latest eruption to threaten neighborhoods there, with fears that the biggest blast is yet to come. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer is in the air and on the ground on the Big Island.
Tonight, Kilauea making her fury known again. New plumes of smoke from the crater, ash falling. Meantime, hissing from the ground, toxic gases that can kill in minutes. This is condition red, dangerous levels of sulfur dioxide.
The wind can change at any time, and of course, if you're caught up in that, there's no way to get out of it.
Tonight, new fountains of lava as the Earth splits apart. From outer space, astronauts can see Kilauea.
What's so incredible from this perspective is just how violent the eruptions have been. The geysers are shooting hundreds of feet into the air.
Now Kilauea's crater is ready to blow. 38 years ago, this week in Washington State, when Mount St. Helens blew, towns were buried in ash. Now it could happen again on an island where they wait and worry.
Inside Kilauea's crater, just a few miles behind me, explosions are ongoing, sending smoke and ash flying into the air. Right now, ash isn't falling on populated areas, but all of that could change. This may be a preview of what's to come. Lester?
An ominous background there on the Big Island. Miguel Almaguer, thanks. There's late word tonight from London after a back-and-forth drama swirling around the royal wedding of Prince Harry and American actress Meghan Markle. In the past 24 hours, Markle's father first pulled out of the wedding after it was revealed he took money from the paparazzi to stage photos. But earlier today, he reportedly changed his mind and wanted to attend. Now comes word of a medical emergency. We get the latest from NBC's Stephanie Gosk.
Tonight, the question of who will walk Meghan Markle down the aisle remains unanswered. Her father, Thomas Markle, telling TMZ he's undergoing heart surgery Wednesday morning after suffering a heart attack.
He's been under a tremendous amount of stress amidst health challenges.
It follows his surprise announcement to TMZ Monday that he was pulling out of the ceremony after it was revealed he had been paid for stage paparazzi photos. Meanwhile, small, quiet Windsor is gearing up, including a massive and complex security operation.
Does the size of Windsor complicate this operation to some degree?
It certainly creates a number of challenges for us. The width of the streets and the number of people that we can get into Windsor is much smaller than it is in London.
With fears terrorists may use drones, new technology will be in place to spot them and bring them down. A Denver-based company showed us a similar system used to disable over 1,000 drones in the Middle East.
They're able to jam all different frequencies so that we're able to halt it in space, land it, or crash it.
At William and Kate's wedding, the crowd really couldn't get close. Here in Windsor, the procession is going to come right up this narrow street. The spectators will effectively be able to reach right out into the road.
Prince Harry and Meghan will take an open-air carriage for the procession.
It's unprotected, it's not ballistically proofed, it's not bulletproof, it's not stab-proof, it's nothing proof.
The royal family wants open access for the public. Officials are confident they can keep everyone safe in the process. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, Windsor.
Tributes are pouring in tonight for Tom Wolfe, the literary legend behind some of the most acclaimed works of the last half century. In his signature white suits, he brought new journalism to the masses and earned legions of fans. He died yesterday here in New York at the age of 88. And NBC's Cynthia McFadden now with a look back.
Tom Wolfe held a mirror up to America for more than half a century as both a journalist and a novelist. He liked to tackle big themes, as he did in The Right Stuff, mythologizing the lives of the Mercury astronauts made into a 1983 film.
Now he had to slow down.
In the 1980s, Wolfe's runaway best-selling novel, Bonfire of the Vanities, chronicled the dizzying clash between those with extreme wealth and those without it in New York City. He was an original and a bit of an odd duck. Each morning, he told friends, he would put on one of his legendary three-piece white suits and sit at his typewriter until 10 triple-space pages were written. Why the white suits?
It ends up creating a kind of a personality. I don't really have to say much.
William F. Buckley Jr. wrote of Wolfe, "He is probably the most skillful writer in America. I mean by that, he can do more things with words than anyone else." Tom Wolfe would have liked that, because it was true. The flame that lit a bonfire, now spent. Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, New York.
There is more to come here tonight. Still ahead, mid-air horror. The co-pilot nearly sucked out of a passenger plane cockpit at 32,000 feet. How he managed to survive. We'll be right back. A month after a Southwest Airlines passenger died after being partially sucked out of an aircraft window, there's word tonight of another incident in which a co-pilot on a different airline was partially pulled out of his seat by a shattered window in the cockpit. The captain forced to make an emergency landing. Here's our aviation correspondent, Tom Costello.
On the ground at the Chengdu airport, a Sichuan Airlines passenger plane with part of its front windshield blown out. The co-pilot treated at a local hospital for minor injuries after being partially sucked away from his controls. Only his seatbelt kept him inside. It happened when the Airbus A319 was at 32,000 feet. Suddenly, the co-pilot's windshield shattered. The plane depressurized. The temperature inside the cockpit dropped to minus 40 degrees as the pilot made an emergency descent. Passengers described food flying, oxygen masks dropping, the sound of rushing air, and flight attendants yelling at everyone to remain calm. Within 20 minutes, the captain had made a safe emergency landing.
Everybody please.
The incident coming just a month after Southwest Airlines passenger Jennifer Reardon died after being partially sucked out of a Boeing 737 window, shattered when it was hit by shrapnel from an exploding engine. The incident in China appears to be completely unrelated.
To have a window and then a windshield come out within a month of each other is just about unprecedented.
The question for investigators in China, why did the windshield on this widely flown Airbus plane suddenly explode? Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
We're back with more right after this. A big announcement tonight of the battle over pot laws in cities and states across the country. Here in New York, the district attorney in Manhattan says he will stop prosecuting low-level marijuana crimes, including most pot possession and smoking cases, starting August 1st. It comes after the New York Times reported a racial disparity in marijuana arrests, blacks being eight times more likely to be arrested on low-level pot charges than whites. As the school year winds down, an eye-opening look at the burdens our teachers carry. 94% say they pay out of their own pocket for classroom supplies. That's according to a new Education Department study, an average of nearly $480 a year. Tens of thousands of teachers in recent months have walked out of classrooms across the U.S. to protest low pay and budget cuts. And a touching moment in Indiana when the five-year-old son of a fallen police officer got quite the welcome back for his first day of school since tragedy struck. Dakota Pitts asked if one of his dad's friends could take him to school on Monday, but when he arrived, some 70 officers were there to greet him. Dakota's dad, Officer Rob Pitts, was killed in the line of duty earlier this month. We're back with more right after this. Finally tonight, with music, there are no limits. And if you don't believe it, consider the story of the teenager you're about to meet. His passion for playing the piano has carried him above and beyond what others might consider physical limitations. His story and his music are inspiring America. Darius Simmons taught himself how to play the piano at age 10. By 15, he performed at Carnegie Hall. Now 17, Darius just composed his first song.
I like to show people that I can do things that you think that I may not be able to do, and I think piano was a great way to show that.
Remarkably, he's accomplished all of it with just four fingers. Darius was born with three on his right hand, one on his left.
I just like the way the instrument sounds altogether, and I like the way people play it, so I was like, I want to be able to do that. They got 10 fingers, you know, but I feel like I can make four work.
Darius came up with his own technique for reaching all the keys and learning how to press the pedals with prosthetics. His legs amputated when he was a toddler. While Darius was at it, he picked up the trombone.
I don't ever get discouraged. Even when a part's too hard, I just keep practicing until I learn how to play it.
Darius's mom, Tamara, says he was strong-willed even as a little boy.
The one thing you'd hear him say is, I can do it myself. I can do it myself. And so I just let him go.
Now Darius has turned that determination to composing. After months of work, he recently debuted his first song on his Facebook page. It struck a chord, quickly racking up 4 million views.
I'm just glad that I inspired people and made somebody's day. That's all I really wanted to be able to do, just share my great music with everybody and just put a smile on people's faces.
You go, Darius. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.